Hey everybody, it's time for another weekly edition of Inside Lion Athletics. Charlie Chitwood here. We're going to look around the department, see what's cooking. Last week we got to visit with Jim Curry some again, and man, he's been a little bit busy. Tell you somebody else who's been busy is that is our soccer coach, Ashley Gordon. And it was a it, it's a spring friendly, so to speak. But coach, you had more goals than Louisiana Tech 3-2. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. No, we were excited to schedule La Tech. That's a team that in Conference USA that finished 3-4-1 in the fall season and made their conference tournament. So we were excited to get them on the schedule and agreed to a 2-year spring schedule. So they came to us this year, and then obviously next spring we're going to return to them. But for the first game of the season, we sure were happy about having the opportunity to kick somebody else other than ourselves and in practice. So it's it's one of those things. The spring can be long, right? You return in January. The first couple weeks in January is solely fitness related, and then you get into the next phase, which is really soccer and fitness. But you go this, you go a really long period of time, and then you deal with spring break. So being able to come back from spring break and compete against somebody else, we're super excited. So, here on out, we've got games weekly. But yeah, no, really, really excited about the La Tech game. I thought our team played hard, and for the first game of the season, we've got some things that we have to be able to address, specifically possession out of throw-ins. I thought we gave up too many corners that I would have had liked. But at the end of the day, super positive, not just the win, but we had three goals. We went up 3-0 at one point prior to letting in two probably preventable goals. So the final score was 3-2. But even when it was 3-0, we hit the post, hit the crossbar, created some really good opportunities. And more importantly, we had some names that got on the scoreboard early. So our first goal in the first half was May had a long free kick from the halfway line, and Chris Schultz, our captain center midfielder, was able to get on the end of it. Great header goal. So she scored the first goal. And then going into the second half, we set the press with the team coming out of our opponent coming out of the back. We were able to pinch them high up the field, and McKenna slipped a ball into Elena Flores. And so Elena was able to score the second goal. And then super proud of our third goal because, again, we were able to, press the other team higher up the field. And Chris found a ball into Elena Flores, and then Chris sprinted into the, getting into the box, and Elena played a really good intentional ball across the box that Chris put on the end of it. So Chris had two goals. Elena Flores had a goal and assist. McKenna and May both had assists. So, those are some of the names, obviously, that, had really good performances in the spring game. I thought Yazelle, who was our transfer from UTRGV, I thought that she was really, really solid in the game as well. And so it was good to get her, on the field. But, I thought for our first game out of the chute, I was fairly pleased. But, just each week we're just the spring season's all about us, right? We really have no scouting video on any of these opponents because, your seniors graduate. They're typically not with you within the spring season.
Right.
The rosters totally look different. So, again, every preparation in the spring is really about, it is only about us. So,
well, I may be wrong on the numbers, but you've got two Division I transfers in, and Yiselle being one of them. Your other portal get, she wasn't able to play or
correct.
Play yet.
Correct. She was sidelined, just, took an injury right before spring break. Coming back from that, I think that we're getting closer. So I'm obviously hopeful that she's going to be able to take the field this spring. I think, Minutes, any sort of minutes that you're able to get in the spring is super valuable, and especially when you're dealing with transfers that you're trying to, find the team chemistry with those new players. And so, and she's a center back as well, so it's going to be important to be able to get her back so we can get her in the back line and get some training sessions this spring, and make sure that she's comfortable and confident. So yeah, we're excited about our mid-year transfers.
Coach, how many players are you short in the spring? I mean, I understand it's a kind of a natural rhythm with the seniors heading out.
Right. We've got a roster of 18. We had some of those numbers were injuries from the fall, with surgeries, and so we're looking to be able to, have those players get on the mend and get back. But really, your spring roster is pretty short. So in regards to, the team itself, looking at about 16 players, which at the end of the day, Charlie, really it ha having short roster really provides opportunities for, I mean, everybody on the roster, right? And you really, I think, can make headway in the spring when you do have a shorter roster, because players, step on the field. Maybe they had limited minutes in the fall, or maybe they had limited minutes because of injuries. And so, with these players coming back in the fold, I think are really important. So, and of course, we've got a super versatile team anyway. So, I mentioned Elena Flores. I mean, literally, Elena played in three different positions in Saturday's game, but she was effective. So, it just did, gives us really, again, opportunity to play a lot of minutes. I've been pretty pleased with the team's overall fitness. We really have. We've changed some things in regards to the spring and how we wanted to address just spring fitness overall, and we're really seeing, the effects of that. And so I thought even going into our first game overall with limited substitutions, I thought our overall fitness was pretty good. Was pretty good.
Outstanding. How many more bodies will you have for the fall when you gather the
Oh gosh.
team up in what,
Yeah,
June, July?
so okay, well, from a recruiting standpoint, we've already signed four. We have two other with verbal commitments. So we're looking at potentially six freshmen coming in. We also have a transfer from Louisiana Lafayette that's coming in that's going to be coming to grad school here, and so she's got a fifth year of eligibility, and so we're excited about that. We have shoot, we've got players on the portal right now that we're communicating with, and that we have visits that are already set up and offers that are out. And then the portal for women's soccer for Division I opens up again May 1st. So there's going to be another wave of recruiting between May 1st to May 15th. So it's a lot going on. And Charlie, like anything, we have of course, we're recruiting at all ages. So right now we're heavily recruiting in the 2027 class. And these are juniors. And so we've already got four verbal commitments that are from the North Texas area. And I say
Unnoted
that, North Texas,
hothead.
sorry. Sorry, I misspoke. We have three 2027s from the North Texas area, and then we have one Houston player as well. And so we're super excited about all the 27s that have been coming to campus. And so again, we're juggling a lot of recruiting. It's incoming freshmen, it's players on the portal, and it's juniors in high school right now. So it's a lot going on. Spring is heavy in recruiting. It never stops. We got to get through the end of June.
Hey, you got new help on the staff too, didn't I see? You got a new assistant?
I sure did. I sure did. So we were able to hire Andrea Casella, and super excited about him. I've been, he's got a lot of experience, whether it's on the club side. He also was the assistant coach at University of Houston. And then he also has, he's worked with our under 17 and under 20 youth national teams in regards to all the pre and post game and training analytics. So he's He's great in regards to any sort of scouting and analytics. So he's got a lot of experience to be able to bring to the table. He's jumped right in, and he's been fantastic. And even when he was on the club side, I was recruiting his players. So we've got a relationship already prior to joining the staff, and so excited to have him here. And like anything, it's a different voice, different perspective that I think is healthy for all of our players.
Great stuff. Coach, what's next up? What's next up for your squad? Can folks
Okay.
come see them there at the pitch?
Right. So we've got we're gonna play Tyler Junior College coming up next week. The following week after that, we have UT Tyler, and then the last game of the season we have TWU. So
Okay.
we're excited about that, and then we potentially could have a makeup game against UTD. So we've got some opponents this spring that we haven't faced since we've made this transition from D2 to D1. So again, we're always especially in the spring, you're always wanting to mix it up. But I, love the fact that we've got some new opponents that we're facing.
Hey,
So,
and great stuff. You started it out with arguably the biggest name on your spring schedule,
right.
and got a dub in that one. So roll on.
We're excited. We're excited. It's awesome.
All right, coach. Well,
Okay.
take care of that knee, and we'll see you over there soon in the MRS.
Will do. Will do. Thank you, Charlie. Bye.
Flags up, everybody. Happy Easter to you, coach. We'll see you next week. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Some more Inside Lion Athletics. We've already talked to Ashley Gordon. Now we're going to move indoors. Volleyball, you know. Joe Morales, head coach of the Lion women's volleyball team. It's only one we have, Joe. You'd stretch it out and take care of both of them if we had to, wouldn't you?
Yeah, we maybe.
Hey, you. It's, you know, everybody's thinking off-season, 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 except for volleyball coaches and players. Tell us what's going on with the Lion volleyball team right now.
We've been adapting. We brought in two players, Lily Davidson and Skylar Lambert, to join our team in January. We're still recruiting, of course. We're hitting the recruiting trail a lot. Actually, we're headed to Lone Star Classic this coming weekend, which is a big one. Used to be in Dallas, but due to the convention, they moved it to Houston. But yeah, we've been hitting it hard. We're in the nitty-gritty right now, where we are, in our season, our spring competition, if you will. So yeah, so we just came off this weekend, Friday. We played at Texas Women's TWU this past Friday, and it was a good showing, and it's what the kids needed. I mean, they've been playing each other for a while now. So this is a turning point where they get to see a little bit more competition on the other side, and they're excited about it. Spring matches, not always looking for the win, just looking for what we're doing right, how the lineups are looking. But we played them tough, and either way, we still got the W. If you want to call spring match 3-2, but I thought we played well. I thought people did. It was a lot of insight of, hey, I like what she's doing here in this position. Hey, we need to keep her at this position. It kind of gave us a little bit more insight of where we're at from our training, and giving us a little bit more data to work with for the next month or so.
So your first out of the box spring game against Texas Women's U, that's a D2 power, year in and year out right there. And you got the win.
We did. Yeah, they're really good in the Lone Star Conference. And the Lone Star Conference, we've talked about it before. That's a tough D2 conference, and a big one too, for that matter. So TWU is usually up in there, so it was good to play against them. I think, being in the Metroplex, it shows a little bit of their power strength a little bit. And so it was a good first outing for us there. And we came out victorious, and but also came out learning a lot of things as well. So
Coming up, Dallas Baptist and Tarleton are going to be there, not this weekend, but the next weekend. You'll get a chance to see another couple of teams, a D2 barely, and then Tarleton, they're, whatever they are.
Well, hey, whatever conference they're in.
They're just Texans. They wear purple.
Yeah, but I
We've
guess
got so many
that's all
friends
the
there.
former Lone Star there, the former Lone Star
That's
there.
right. Some rivalries never die, do they, Mike?
No, they don't. No, they don't. No, that's gonna be a good one too. I think DBU is coming off a tough year, but I think in the past they've always been good. In retrospect to the Lone Star Conference, so that's gonna be a good one to end up the day with. But we'll start the day with Tarleton, which will be good. We're definitely excited to get them. We haven't seen them since my first year, I believe it was, where we played them in 23, I believe, or 24, one of those years. It eludes me, but where we got the last win on them. So I know it's a new coach, and they've been doing pretty well, and respectively in their conference. I think it's changed since then, but we're excited to get them. And again, and also playing at home for the first time also in the spring, that's going to be really, really special, and I kids are looking forward to it. It has to go a long way when you're talking about spring and you don't have to travel. So that's going to be a fun day for us as well.
So, Coach, tell us a little bit about how the roster is coming together. I know that with Coach Gordon and the soccer team, her numbers are smaller than they will be come the fall when you get freshmen and some of the other later transfers.
I think that's a trend now, just in NCAA with the way things are shaping up, and portals and injuries or graduation. You're dealing with all those things, and I think that's a little bit of a trend where teams are playing a little thin now. So we're thin too. I think we are at nine bodies, but two of them are seniors, so theoretically we're at seven right now. We have two seniors still finishing and playing with us and helping us in the spring. But we'll be back up to 17 strong in the fall. And we're excited about those kids that are coming in. I think we hit the freshman group really hard, and then we hit the junior college really hard as well. So that's going to be I'm really excited to see how the preseason gets going. I think the chemistry is going to be really well and really good, but how the talent and the we're going to be a little longer too. We're going to be a little taller in the net. So that's going to be something that we're going to learn to play with, because we haven't really played with that much height. And it changes the game a little bit. It changes the structure a little bit. And so, the now team will have to learn a little bit of that, as well as the kids coming in. But that's going to be fun to do that. Like, I think everything is shooting to a positive strand right now. And we're excited about the fall with the new kids coming in. Some of these kids, we got Sabine, who's already signed with us, a 6'6" middle. We got Jill Vanal, who I think is an exceptional setter out of College Station. Sadion Scott, who's coming out of Wharton. And then a couple more that we got going on that we're not going to name just yet, due to client reasons. But we're excited about it, and we're looking forward to what's to come.
Joe, 6'6". Does that look over the net, flat-footed, or does she have to
Now,
hop a little bit?
not quite over the net, but if you put her hands up, I'm pretty sure it's over the net. It's close to it. It's close to it. And we're really excited about that. Just her length and her ability and what she can do. I think she's one of the few middles that can run off of 1 foot behind that tall. I mean, normally you're like a 6'6", and they're not really acclimated to running slides a lot, which is a 1 foot behind the setter. But I think she's going to be someone that it's going to be it's going to take a while, because she is a freshman, but I think she's going to be one to contend with for sure. And I think she's going to give us a little bit more versatility up there. And yeah, we're excited about her. We're excited.
That's going to be fun stuff to watch. Coach, it's not just about developing your players right now. You've got a little coach development going on, and you mentioned I'll let you tell as much of the story as you want, but you've got a little insight from the defending national champs
Oh
to
man, that's fun.
maybe lift things up.
That's gonna be fun. Jamie and I are good friends, as Jeff the assistant as well. And we get to go and watch the practice a little bit. I think a lot of D1s do this, and I think Jamie's gonna be very. I mean, he's very hospitable. I think he's one of the pioneers, along with many others, but one of them for sure, to grow our game and elevate it. not just for players, but for coaches as well. And I've known Jamie and his wife for a while, and Jeff, him and I worked at UTSA together. And we're headed down to Lone Star to recruit, and I gave him a call, and I'm like, hey, and he's like, come on over. Oh, like, we'll come on, watch some practice. So we're gonna get to do that a little bit, and that's gonna be fun to see how that level practices. It helps me, but also more so it helps my younger coaches get a little bit of that. And we get to chat with them a little bit and pick their brain. I think he, there are a lot of coaches in that level that do that really well. I think he's one of them. David Weir, Houston, and Jared Elliott at Texas. I think, and of course, Jamie Morrison at A&M. And I think, but coming, like getting being able to be there, watching a national champion team practice after they just won the national championship is it's got to be fun. It's got to be exhilarating. So we're thrilled. We're very honored. We're very appreciative of their staff to be able to do that. And yeah, it's something that it's going to be fun, and I think my staff is going to love it. And yeah, I'm really excited, and I'll get to touch base with Jamie a little bit more, and Jeff, and see them. And we're definitely thrilled about that. And whatever knowledge we can take from there to help our program or to help volleyball in general, I think it's a good thing. And so we're definitely looking forward to that.
Great stuff. Joe, I just want to touch on these things before we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
But on so Saturday the 11th, it'll be Dallas Baptist and Tarleton, and all that'll kick off at 10 a.m. There's three matches
Right.
between the three schools. A week later, you're back inside the field house. 10 o'clock against UTA, and then 1:30 against Louisiana Tech.
Correct.
And then a week later, you're going to get them on the road over to Denton to face North Texas and our old pals at Midwestern State.
That is correct. Yeah. And then that will conclude our season, our spring season, and whatnot. Yeah, we're looking forward to competing those three matches. We want field house is free, so come on over, come and watch the team, see what we've been doing a little bit. Of course, we're a little thin, but come and give us a support. We love having everybody in the gym and watching volleyball. And so we invite everybody on campus, in the city, in the community, come out and watch some volleyball on April 11th and April 18th. We'd love to have you guys.
All right, folks, it's Joe Morales, head coach of the East Texas A&M volleyball team, and he's got busyness in front of him. Spring season and recruiting. Joe,
Holy
we'll
quirky.
lines up here. It's always great to visit with you, friend, and we'll see you
Absolutely.
on campus soon, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us. Thanks for having me. And go Lions.
All right, folks, more Inside Lion Athletics coming your way after this. Welcome back, everybody. More Inside Lion Athletics for you. We've talked soccer, we've talked volleyball. Now it's time to talk Flying Lions on the track and over the bars. Coach George Pinnock, busy week. Texas Relays and the Bobcat Relays in San Marcos. That it's only 30 miles on a map, but it's no telling how long to get from one to the other, is it?
All right. Yep. Just depends on the time of day and who's out there.
There you go. If they could plan these for late at night or too early in the morning, it'd probably be the best time for the traffic. But
Yeah.
you got to get fans there too. Hey, tell us a little bit about this week. You and I were talking ahead of time that pick a perspective, and it's real different from either side. But let's start with a student athlete's perspective of this, because you did this as well, running at both meets.
Yeah, some of my fondest memories as an athlete 20 years ago were going down to Austin and getting the opportunity to run at Texas Relays, a prestigious meet. Kind of marks a point in the season where people are kind of turning from, the transition from indoor to outdoor, to hoping that, we're kind of starting to see more competitive marks. So you see teams from all over the country fly in. Teams from the East Coast, teams from up north coming down looking for some good weather, teams from California, and then everyone here in Texas as well. So it's kind of this convergence of really good track and field in one area. and some pretty good pro athletes that come in and run some sections here and there. From that perspective, as an athlete, it's a lot of fun to go into a stadium and see, 10,000 people. Not often you get that in a track and field stadium at just a regular season meet.
Boy, and that crowd roaring, especially on the
Yeah.
relays when you come around that home stretch,
Yeah, no, it's
it's an
fantastic. And
insane, like being at the Hippodrome without the horses.
Mike Myers Stadium is kind of a unique setup. They have what they call the bunker, which is the announcer's press box that kind of sits on that north end of the stadium, and he has a full view of the track out in front of them, and they're announcing, they're engaging with the crowd, very interactive and just an overall good experience.
How many of your athletes are going to be making their first trip there for this one?
Ooh, let's see. So on the guys' side, it'll be everybody will be a first time trip to Texas Relays except for Enoch and Goose, who were on the 4x2 last year. So relatively new group there. And then on the women's side, a lot of the same too, actually. We had a few girls that ran last year and a relay that ran last year, and a couple of those girls will be back. But almost entirely new people on the girls' side. And I guess that Annette made the trip 2 years ago and ran unattached there on her own while she was redshirting here. And so this will be our first time back in the Lions uniform.
We've got relays that'll be going from one meet to the other. Do we have any individual athletes that are going to be performing at both?
Yeah, we'll have a handful of guys who are going to, probably run 100 and 200 between both places. Some hurdlers doing both. With the schedule, we had some jumpers that qualified for both, but we made some decisions based on logistics and opportunity, right? To just choose one over the other. So, when we look at it from a coaching standpoint, we kind of shotgun our entries and just put everyone in everything. Once we see who gets in certain events and what those look like, we have a spreadsheet of everything going on throughout each day. Is it possible for someone to long jump at 10 o'clock in the morning in Austin, wrap that competition up maybe at 11:30, get to the vehicle, get down to San Marcos, and be ready for a 115 long jump? And sometimes we try to push it. And sometimes we try to play it safe. So it's just kind of look at all of those schedules and see what we can make happen.
And make sure that the app on your phone shows what the traffic is like between Austin and San Marcos too. That's
All
crazy.
can change at
So
any moment.
with those two meets, one higher prestige than the other, it doesn't make the Bobcat relays like an also rans
Not at all.
competition. It's a big meet in its own right.
Yeah, over the last 4 to 5 years, the meet has really started to get a lot better in quality. And what you're seeing is that Texas Relays is being selective on who gets in, which I think is absolutely great. But you're still seeing really good athletes make that trip down to San Marcos to get the opportunity to run. And so over the last few years, it's gotten better and better and better.
How different are the facilities down at the bones level? I'm not talking about which one seats more, but
I mean, at the end of the day, a track is 400 meters. Are they different? Yes. Is one potentially a bit faster than the other? Yes. I think, the way Mike Myers Stadium set up, you're kind of set up for a pretty favorable tailwind in most of the sprints. You're not quite set up like that at the Bobcat Stadium. But both produce really, really fast times, different events.
Bobcat's a little, it's more open, isn't it?
Mike Myers, it kind of sits up on the hill and surrounded by stands on both sides. Bobcat Stadium sits up on a hill, but has a small section of bleachers down the home straight. And is a little bit more exposed, but the wind's a little different down there than it is in Austin.
Okay. All right. Here's the big question. What do you think we're going to be doing best in this coming weekend?
Ooh, I, everything. I'd like
Where
to
are
say
your
every
hopes
aspect.
highest?
Yeah, I talked with our staff last night and kind of the tail end of our weight room session, and I think our training yesterday, although Monday in the week, was really, really good. And I think we feel like this team is starting to find an identity, starting to find a little bit of confidence that perhaps we lack through most of the indoor season as a group. There was individuals here and there. And so I'm excited to see some of our long jumpers really get going. A couple of people that redshirted indoors. I think they're ready to have some success. Excited for our high jumpers. Janelle's going to open up her outdoor season. And we're not even going to jump her at Texas Relays. We're just going to take her to Texas State and, a little bit less pressure situation and kind of let her ease her way into the season. Excited for our throws, for Romy to continue on her track, kind of try to do throws at both Texas State and at Texas Relays. So from top to bottom, I'm really excited about the team we're taking. Excited about the opportunities for success we have in each event group. And just hope that confidence that we kind of saw yesterday in training rolls over into the meet and continues to build each week.
Coach, going back to Janelle and her jumping at Bobcat relays, they've got a video clip of her added into Jim Curry's newsletter that was put out. She floats, man. I mean, she's not a flying lion, she's a floating lion. And of course they picked a really good video, but it looks like she could clear anything.
We were really, really happy with the indoor season that she had, and the progress she's made. But we really feel that there's tremendous upside, to her, really. I don't know if we've really put a cap on what we think she can do. We just keep training her and getting her better at certain elements of the event and put her in situations where she tries.
Your relays have been really good the last few years. Do you expect them to have strong performances this weekend?
I think it's early for us. We're still sorting through some personnel, trying to find the right people in the right spots. And if you look at from the 4x1, I don't proudly say, but we've never had a 4x1 that really performs well at Texas Relays. We've never performed poorly, but it's early for a 4x1. I'm willing to take some gambles on personnel early. I'm willing to take some gambles on steps. I'd rather get it wrong now and get it right later. Last year though, I think we had a pretty special group of guys for the 4x2. We saw that, just with the guys at training, that the 4x2 was probably the right relay race for us to enter and have some fun in, something that they don't get to do too often. And so I think we did something similar this year. This will be the first second time ever that we've entered a sprint medley at Texas Relays. So we'll go 200, 200, 400, 800, and we feel like we have some good guys that kind of line up with that relay. And I'm quietly hoping that we can kind of make a run on the school record. I think we got the right guys for it. And
Wow.
be fun. So I don't know. I didn't think we'd get a world lead last year, but you never
Yeah, that doesn't have to be just Fast Times at Ridgemont High, does it?
know.
It can be Fast Times at Lion U. Hey, last thing before we run out of time, Coach, is there anybody on men's or women's team, either one, that this is like their first real big outdoor meet and you're thinking they might have a good time?
We saw some new faces indoor. Amara Adina, our hurdler from indoor, Shane West, our hurdler from indoor, both had great seasons. This will be their first trip to Texas Relays, first big outdoor meet, and just kind of see what they can do.
Excellent. Always fun, always exciting. There's nothing like race day, and I'm not talking about NASCAR. Georgie, safe travels to you down there. You and all the Lions making the trip, and we can't wait to see how it all works out.
All right, thanks, Charlie. I appreciate it.
George Pincock, head coach of Lion Track and Field. We're going to take a break. Coach, y'all travel safe, and we'll be back with more. I think we've got Brittany Miller coming up. Talk softball. Keep it on Inside Lion Athletics. Welcome back, everybody. More Inside Lion Athletics. We go with the outdoor sports on the very end still. Got Brittany Miller to join us now, Lions softball coach. It's just not going the way you expected it to, but there's time yet and time to battle on this weekend. Well, actually, it's going to be Thursday and Friday because it's Easter week, but you got to go down to Thibodaux and take on Nichols. How's that going to go?
We're excited. We went back to just the basics this week and just reminding everybody that we just need to keep things simple and making sure that, we just stay within ourselves and not try to make things bigger than they need to be. Regardless of record, we still are doing a lot of good things. And so just keep reminding them that they're doing good things. We just need to put them all together.
Now, we talked a little bit beforehand about your conversations with pitchers sometimes, and they're kind of all over the place. You kind of read the situation on your way out to the circle, and then what happens, coach?
Yeah, we gotta sometimes just read the room. And so some of them need, a word of encouragement. Some of them need to get back to just simple cues. Sometimes we just need a break from the umpires. But at the end of the day, I mean, each one of them is different, and I gotta approach all of them different depending on the situation and what we need to get out of them.
You saying that sometimes they just need a break. Sometimes the catcher just needs a break too.
Yes.
And Gracie or Miss Montemayor will run out to the circle and probably have a comment about the call on the last pitch.
Yes, that tends to happen quite a bit.
So keeping it simple, what's the best way to do that as a Lion pitcher?
Just hitting our spots. So just playing catch with whoever's catching and, just working to hit spots, let our defense play behind them and keep the ball in the park. I mean, if we eliminate the free passes and, we keep the ball in the yard, then it gives us a chance to make a play and gives us a chance to be able to stay in control of the situation.
Does keeping it low, is that one of the equations to keeping it in the park?
Oh, yes. Keep it low, work knees, work corners, and then utilizing our off speed to make sure that we're keeping hitters off balance.
Okay. Let's talk about those catchers for a minute. They've been doing really good for you, and Gracie is like tops in the country in throwing out base runners.
Oh
What?
yeah.
How cool is that?
Oh yeah, we're very fortunate. We've got ar good arms, good people behind the plate. They control our pitchers and keep them calm, but they also control the game behind there by able to throw runners out, pick people off. Gracie's done a tremendous job just keeping all the speed really at bay. So, and Haley's doing a good job too. So we are very fortunate to have the catchers that we do.
Okay. Outfield's been pretty good as well. KK, Bella, Emma,
Emma.
all the way around. They've been steady. And man, everybody had their running shoes on in that last series. Goodness, that wind was blowing out in Natchitoches.
Oh yeah, the wind was blowing. The outfield's done a great job. And they run the ball down, they catch whatever they can, and their relays into bases have been on point. So I mean, we've gotten some close calls, and they're going to continue to do what they need to do out there and run things down and help our pitchers as much as they can.
Tatum Wright's been having the ball's been looking very big to her coming in of late. What is it, four home runs in the last 2 weekends? Or
Yeah, I think so. She's done a good job. She's seen the ball really well. She's doing what Tatum does, see the ball, hit the ball. She's been keeping it simple. Aaliyah actually jumped on board with her last week and hitting the ball well. So hopefully just a domino effect.
That would do great. All right, tell us a little about what you expect from Nichols. Their facilities are probably closer to ours in that they've got turf infield. We're not sure about the whole yard, but infield's probably the most important because that's where the ball hits first.
Oh yes. I mean, it's always a luxury when you go back into, something that you're familiar with as an infielder. So, having the turf is going to be good, and I think it's going to be good for us this weekend because we're supposed to get some weather. So hopefully that'll eliminate any delays or anything like that, unless there's lightning. So, surface is going to be good. The They swing the bat well, so expect them to come out swinging. They're playing well right now. So at the end of the day, like if we come out, we keep things simple, do our job. We just gotta keep competing and keep fighting and see where it lays.
Okay. It's going to be a quick turnaround after this week. You get the rest of the weekend off when you get back home, but then it's on down to San Antonio a week later. You got SFA at home first.
Yeah, we'll play SFA at home, then we'll go to UIW, and then we'll round out the rest of conference at home. So that'll be a nice change of pace for us.
Yeah. Good to be back home every time. All
Oh, yeah.
right, coach. Well, safe travels down to Thibodeau.
Yes.
Which place are we going that ends in a
Oh,
French word?
yes.
Well, safe travels down there. Get a dub or two or three, and we'll see you when you get back, coach.
Thank you.
All right, that's Brittany Miller, head coach of your East Texas A&M Lions. The Nichols Colonels this week. SFA's coming over here to our place next week. And that'll be part of the big fest. No, it's the HCU games in April when we're
Yep.
part of, well, when everybody's doing everything
Oh,
in
yeah.
conference. Coach, thanks for your time. We'll see you down the road.